Yes, we're going to pray now. Here the brother Mille and Manu waiting on the line. And Pulotu Bruce Levy, the honour to be able to open up our time. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to come here and tell all of the gentlemen and the communities that are listening in.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the... I'll just be able to sit here and a little bit grey out there, but we know your love and your presence, for your spirit is upon us, and Lord, just bless our conversations and bless the words that are going to be shared, and we pray that they will be edifying and inspiring for our listeners, and that you bless our listeners, whatever they're going through at this time, whatever hardships or whatever times of thanksgiving, God, we just give it to you, Lord. So we give our time of Te Ama, this next time period, we give it to you, God, and thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Tuola va te vikinga, ohana haka manu yanga mo tona aloha, mo ki tātou umala va tau tokatahi. Hoka he tai e hiu. E a te au te awa ma te hoka alo alo e hoka tulou atuai, ma hoka tā aloha atuai au. Ma te anganga hoka mau lalo, ki te mamalu, te atupahe huika i Aotearoa nei. Ona kua hilihilia au e te polokalame te ama, ma te tautuanga te mataeke o te ola maa lolo, Auckland District Health Board and Waitemata District Health Board. Ma te hoka ulu ulunga ki te ahuionga a Pulotu Bruce Levy. Pulotu, ke hoka leo atua e te polokalame te nei i te ahionei. Ia, makua, langona e hoki e toku tangata vai vai nei te whiawhia lahi. Ia, te whiawhia lahi ona ko te hokatahi mai o te ahuyonga a Pulotu Bruce Levy mo te tātou polo kalame te ama i tēnei tāia hou. Kai mai he hoki, he hoka whailoa kinga ki te tātou hiwi hoka aloalongia te tamana lau iloa ki tana tā leni hoka pitoa. Te ahuyonga ki a Manu Watuvei. Toi hoka tāloha atua iau, ko oko mele mele puka mai te ama. Taloha ni.
Talofa, and great opening there, Millie.
Thank you.
And folks, it is such an honor to be sitting here with Millie, and I've been a fan of, everyone knows me, I'm day one of the Warriors, and this man that we're going to be listening to and the honor to listen to, oh, it's just, we're just blessed to do that here with Manu Watuvei, and looks like we might have, he's still there, he's still online.
Say Manu, ask Manu. Manu. Yo, my man. Oh, yes, yeah, sweet. Hey, try to bring you online. Can you just give us a second, please? Thank you, brother. Yeah.
We're just having some technical difficulties, and our brother Millie is going to be organizing it. But hey, Millie, it's been great that you can bring me on. We've been, I can hear the beep beep to the side. We're doing a few things out in the DHB. Thank you for the welcome. As General Manager for Pacific Health across Auckland, Waitemata, it's been a huge honour to be able to see lives changed and differences made in communities. And sometimes the inspiration, we have moments of it, particularly with dancing on with celebrity and seeing our brother Manu on there, who's going to, we're just, oh, just, I'm so blown away the fact that he's on the online with us. Millie.
Mahalo, Manu. Manu, can you hear me?
Hello. Oh, yeah, can you?
Man. Hey, first of all, look, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on our humble radio show, you know?
No worries.
Thank you. Hey, Manu, man, I just want to put it out there. Brother, how's your health?
Yeah, good. You know, few little things that, you know, kind of scare me a bit, but, you know, just taking it day by day, and hopefully, you know, just got to move on and just continue with whatever comes in my life, so, yeah.
Thank you, brother. You know, you have so much, you know, I'm a huge fan as well, you know, not just me, Pulotura here too, and a lot of us, and, you know, we're thinking of you, you know, I hope... You regain your full health. And thank you, Manu. Manu, I've got a couple of questions. You know, you're an important part of the Mate Matonga Rugby League team now. You have been, you've been a part of some legendary teams and players over the past 15 years at the top, you know. Amazing, bro. And only in your early 30s. Oh,
yeah.
Brother. My question is, you know, the Mate Matonga team has been taking South Auckland by storm, man. You know, everywhere you look in the past week or so, red flags, red cars. Right, can you tell me, what is the environment like amongst the MMT team, including management?
It's been awesome, you know. It's something that more boys wanted to do is, you know, just inspiring people around the world.
Yes,
and, you know, all the support that we've gotten with the MMT has been awesome, and something that, you know, we're just humbled and honoured for the support that they have given us, and, you know, for some of the players that,
yes,
you know, played for Australia, played for New Zealand,
right.
To come back to the country and represent it, you know, hopefully we can inspire more kids and who wants to, you know, to represent the countries, but, you know, with all the rules and stuff, it's always difficult, but, you know, it's up to them what they want to do in their life, and
absolutely,
whether it's playing for New Zealand or for Australia, but, you know, no matter what, you know, they're still representing their countries, and that's what I'm real proud of.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you, Manu. I know Pulotu's, he's got a few questions, but one more question, Manu. Bro, one of my favorite players. Now, this is taking it way back, man. This guy was doing things that was just unbelievable. His offloads and vision was just extraordinary, man. He was the, you know, he was the Michael Jordan of rugby league. You know, the undisputed king of offloads anywhere, bro. This was before Sonny Bill burst on the scene. Manu, you know?
Yeah.
Your good mate, Ali Lauiti'iti, bro.
Yeah,
bro, he made a shock return to the Warriors, man. Back to where it all started. And I think you know where I'm going with this, Manu. You know, there's only one year, bro. You know, the beast. Yeah. Bro, have you entertained thoughts of returning to, you know, back to our beloved club?
Yeah, you know, it's something that, you know, I've always wished I could do, but, you know, with everything that's going on, with my health and stuff, I've got a you know, another meeting with my specialist and stuff just to go over a few things and, you know, I want to decide from there whether I can come back and play and all that. So, you know, that's always a dream of mine to come back and play, to go back and play footy, but... with everything going on, I just got to make sure everything's right for myself to make a comeback or whatever. So, yeah.
Absolutely, Manu, you're so right, man. You know, they say health is wealth, and brother, you know, we're all praying that you get yourself right, you know, with all the right people in place to help you get back on track with your health. And pulotu.
Oh, well, hey, thank you, Manu. Manu, my wife and I, the family, a lot of New Zealanders, a couple of weeks ago, were fixed to the TV screen of celebrities. And you know what? Every time you spoke, we got some insights to what was going on for your life. You know, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me, what was the biggest... I mean, there's probably a lot of challenges. I mean, you shared them with us. But what was your... Now that it's been a few weeks now, and you're still doing a little bit, some demonstrations, but what's been the biggest learnings for you from that show?
To be honest, you know, coming into onto the show, I never expected how passionate and how much I love dancing. I never knew that I'll ever find something that I'll be as passionate as like I was with sports, and,
yeah.
And sports was something I was really hard on, but more passionate about. And you know, what I learned was, like, you know, especially with my emotions, I'm one of those. There's people that, you know, playing sports, I always want to look tough. I always want to be noticed as a tough guy and a person that no one can mess with. But, you know, it was hard for me. Like, you know, I was, even though, like, you know, I always hide through my laughing and all that, people used to see me like that. And but, you know, behind closed doors, only my family saw the tough times that I was going through, like, and all that, you know, and depression was part of it. And, you know, I was real hard on myself. I was real down when things weren't going right, and you know, especially with injuries and stuff. And that was something that was hard for me. And doing this dancing, you know, kind of without, you know, without talking, because I'm a tough person. They like to talk about my problems, but with this dancing, I could express a little bit more about it, and it made it a little bit easier for myself to kind of express it a little bit and get out of that comfort zone where. No, I don't have to be tough. I can show my emotions, and it doesn't mean that I'm going soft. It just means that I'm getting stronger and stronger every time I express it. So, you know, that was something I kind of learned doing the show, and you know, hopefully that was the message that, you know, through my dancing I was giving out to people. So yeah,
yes.
Amazing.
There was oh, I tell you, there was even the whole theme around the masculinity. You know, the masculine island boy, island man, and what you were able to convey on that screen for all our young boys, just a different image or an image that it can be realized through all our boys who are in league, and that, as you said, strength not through the words, but strength through your actions and your massive commitment, like 120% commitment. We saw it when you there was that the one where you pushed your accident, but just your real remorse, and that's what we saw. That was your commitment, brother. Just the last question for you: what did it say about the man, the Kiwi bloke? You know, what's your experience? What does that speak to? How did you add to that body of knowledge, because we all got perceptions of what the Kiwi bloke is, even as Pacific young men.
Oh, you know, like I put before, you know, as men, we're one of those ones that like to provide and be the tough person every time for your family. And, you know, it's always tough to kind of try and open up to people about, like, things that are going through inside inside our mind. And, you know, I've been through a lot throughout my whole career. And, I've been at my real lowest, and you know, I can always really open up that, you know, I've been through like depression, I've been through you know, real dark places where, you know, I was thinking of, you know, doing something really bad to myself, and that's something that, you know, I didn't want to open up or do anything. But for me to kind of, like, you know, come and do the show is kind of open my eyes that, you know, that, like, I'm not the only one that's going through this. Like, I know there's a lot of boys out there that want to do right for their family, and there are times where it's going to be tough, especially doing what you love. But you know, you just want to provide for your family, you just want to do the right thing, and you don't want to let them down. And that's something that, you know, we're really hard on ourselves when we're not doing it right, to and we're letting our family down. We take it to heart, and we take it real tough on ourselves. And, sometimes it's always, there's always people out there that can help and to be there to support and help.
That's
you.
That's right. So yeah.
It's about, like, you know, just letting yourself, you know, just letting that wall down that you always keep on yourself,
man.
And you'll let it down and just let people in, because you might think that people will see you as a soft, but they're just there to help you out and support you through those times. And that's what I encourage, like, you know, like, you know, there's always people around you that will always support you. I don't think, like, through anxiety and stuff, your mind just goes 100%. And, like,
that's true, man.
You're thinking about the worst, like, you're thinking, oh, they're going to judge me, they're going to do this to me.
But really, man,
they're just there to help and support you through those times, and that's all they want. But yeah, it's just getting that confidence and thing to talk to someone. And, you know, it can be someone from real close to you, it can be someone on the outside that you trust and have that thing with, and just opening it up to one person can make you feel a little bit better, and you can eventually get out of that, break that wall down. So yeah,
Manu, Malo Manu. You know, wow, that really appreciate, man. You know, you what you've achieved and who you are, man, I'm telling you, you would be the ideal person for people like Pulotu that works in health. You could help, honestly, bro, you could help inspire a lot of people in the health and community, and in terms of just sharing your story, man.
So true.
What you just shared is, bro, I felt that, man. I feel it. Sorry, bro, I'm stuttering.
That's
less
right.
I say, the better. Pulotu?
No, I just think we, in health, Manu, you know, we're looking at, and good to get your take on this, but, you know, we want our Pacifica families to live longer and healthier lives.
Yeah.
And it's, and this Ministry of Health in New Zealand, this government is really focusing on our Māori and Pacific communities. And we, you know, as you can see, the last budget, we put money into what we call well-being. You know, we're looking at people's mental health and more training for violence and gambling. We you saw Jenny Salisa, one of our Tongan sisters, who's doing great work out there. Anahela, I can see her next door doing her radio. But
Manu Fotu, man.
From your perspective, Manu, what do you think, if you could change one thing that would help the lives of our Pasifika communities here in New Zealand, and yeah, I'm sure you got some ideas, would you be willing to share that? You've already shared about bringing the wall down and about dealing with getting help out there, but if you had something to say to the politicians and the people that are pumping money into our communities, what would you say would be the best place to
tell them?
Yeah,
put that effort.
You know, there's you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, that can help out with, like, you know, there's lots of charities and stuff that, you know, I've always had my heart on, and, you know, but I reckon, like, with the well-being of people, especially our young Polynesian people, like, you know, there's a lot of suicides and stuff that
always
out there, you know, and that's something that's hard when you, when you hear those things, but you know, for a person that's been there and that's kind of done that, like almost, like, you know, it's when you go through those dark times, like, you never think about anyone or like, you know, your close family or anything. You're just in your mind, and it's hard to kind of explain, because, you know, for myself, you know, it was hard for me to explain how that felt. Just have no feelings or anything through for anyone, and, you know, for myself. Like, you know, there's a lot of young Polynesians that are feeling like this, and I just want to encourage, like, you know, like, no matter what support, like, they can get, like, you know, just go out, I just want to go out there and hopefully express what I've been, because I've been through it. Like, you know, my brother, you know, my older brother's been, like, you know, gang members and stuff, and, you know, for that, like, you know, I've always wanted to look tough and be like him, you know, and have that, like, have that thing. But, you know, it's a real thing. You just want the best for your family. And, you know, there's a lot of tough guys out there that I know, and deep inside them, there's a soft person, and it's hard for them to kind of show that side of them, because, you know, on the streets they wanna keep that image that they're tough and not to mess with them. So it's hard for me to kind of, like, you know, but, you know, that's the only thing that I could say about, you know, that if they can support it, because I know there's a lot of young polys there that can they can do a lot better in their life, and they gotta just step out of their comfort zone, like how I did, like, you know, I stepped out of my comfort zone and found something that I'm real passionate about and want to continue doing now. So
absolutely. So you talked about a little bit about the image of our young Polynesian men. And something around, it's linked to their identity, you know how, and you've got an identity. We now can see you are a man of all peoples, not just for a Pasifika, but everyone resonated and related to your stories. How important is that for our, or what are the things that our young people have to navigate, especially around our identity as Samoans and Tongans and
Tokelauans.
Forget those Tokelauans.
Tokelauans.
But how much does that play into it, Manu? Or from your perspective?
I've heard stories with Freedom League and stuff, and young Polynesians, especially, you know, they, you always have that thing where you have to provide for your family, and you have that pressure that you gotta go into league, and people expect that, you know, once you make it into development or something, you're earning this amount of money and this amount of this, but it's not like that, you know. It's just like a starting point where we can make it as a good thing or a bad thing. So, you know, I went through that, and, you know, my family, some of my family is like saying, oh, you're earning this much, but I wasn't. I was still earning, like, the smallest amount, and, like, even if I went to work, I'll earn more than, and, like, the pressure of me providing for my family and doing all that stuff was tough, and, you know, some kids don't know how to handle those kind of situations, and to get the support, especially some of the kids that go to Australia and that, and away from their family, it's always tough. And you hear the stories where, you know, the young players have taken their lives or something just because of all that, and then they blame it on the pressure they have from their family, like, you know. But that's part of our culture, or all our Pacific Islanders, like, you know, we just go out there to do well and provide for our family, and that's all we can do. And if we fail that, then we take it, like, we take it to heart, and we, like, struggle with it, and that's how I think depression and stuff starts.
Absolutely.
And stuff. So,
that's true, Manu. You know, we've been blessed to have your other good mate, Jerome Rapati. He's been in a couple of times, and, you know, he really elaborated and touched on that. You know, the young players with all the potential, all the pressure on them to actually crack it like you did, you know. But what happens when they crack under the pressure and go the other way, bro, you know, go off track, you know, and they start getting into you know, not what the parents expect of their kids, but, bro, you know, that's how it is, man. They go off track and start doing, you know, stupid, bad stuff, bro.
Yeah. And it's just having the support there that they need because they don't have their families there to comfort them and to support them, you know.
Yes.
Like when, like I'm lucky that I played my footy here and when I was going through those tough times, my family was there to support me. But, you know, their kids, they go overseas by themselves and, you know, the clubs try their best. But, like, you know, they're too shy and they're too tough to kind of go and look for help because the people that they feel comfortable talking to and having that support is not there for them. So it's always tough, like, you know, but, you know, if you have that support there for them and just give them a little guideline to how things will work, you know, it might make it a little bit easier for them. But
that's true, you know, man.
At the moment, it's real tough, yeah.
Manu, you know, you know, the person you are, can I ask you, man, do you reckon, especially in the league scene, of up-and-coming players that, you know, they're full on the west side, go the other way. Do you think, you know, us Islanders, bro, we proud, man, you know? Do you reckon that pride can be a big downfall for us?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that pride and stuff is always, it's always in us. And we don't want to have a bad image in our family. And that pride always comes into play every time. So it's always tough. Like, you know, sometimes you got to get that pride down and put it down and just show your vulnerability sometimes. And you know, and then people will be there to kind of support, but sometimes the pride kind of takes over and they want to just want to keep going on the thing. And then it's just like someone's told me, like, you know, about holding things in on myself. It's like boiling a pot of water and having a lid on it. And you know, it'll keep boiling. And if you don't let that lid let go, it'll explode. That's how I take things. Like, you know, I was bottling everything up and you know, it just came to a point where, you know, I couldn't handle it and exploded and went through my real low time. So that's, you know, that's something that I've learned through my things. Like, you know, sometimes I let that steam out and just talk. So,
that's amazing, Manu, you know. For myself anyway, you know, I look at you guys, especially the likes of yourself, you know, the ones from from South Auckland that made it to the top, you know, and I think we look at you guys as like gods, bro, you know, like it puts you on a pedestal, you know, but at the end of the day, we are human, eh? We all got the same emotions, but
you know, people always say, like, you know, they put us on a pedestal and stuff. But, you know, for myself, I put everyone else on a pedestal because everyone does the same thing as we all work. And there's one thing that we always work for is to provide for a family and to give them the best life. And, you know, no matter what you do in life, whether it's working a normal job or, you know, thing, like, you know, I always say, like, if your job was on TV, I'll be exactly the same as me to you. So, you know, I never judge anyone for what they do in life.
That's it.
Anything they got to do is just that they got to do what's right for them and do what's right for their family. So,
Manu, you've got a tough job. You've got probably one of the most prestigious jobs we know. Are you still home looking after your little ones?
Yeah. I'm still home looking after my little ones. I just finished doing a school visit for my daughter's school because they had like assembly for their school and they asked me if I can go in and just have a talk to them and you know, it was pretty cool going to my daughter's school and.
Yeah.
You know, talking in front of them and stuff, so just to acknowledge their achievements and what they do with academic and sports. So it was good to kind of do that. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I just want to continue to try and inspire kids and inspire people, like, you know, to follow their dreams because, you know, in life, there's always obstacles and it's up to you how you deal with those little obstacles. You can just either let it get to you or you can work around it and just keep going forward.
Wow, I can imagine the amount of lives that you touched, you know, just doing that. And is that the next phase of your life, Manu? Your few more speaking engagements? Is that what we're going to expect from yourself?
I'm not the type of person that loves to talk, you know. I'm always the action person, and that's what Dante's kind of done. But, you know, I can, I'll be happy to find the door. Mm. You know, I've just got to step out of my comfort zone and just think of, you know, what I can do and hopefully, you know, impact and have an impact in someone's life. If I could save a life, they'll make myself real happy. So,
yeah.
You know, at the moment, I'm still wondering what I'm going to continue to do in my career.
Yes.
I'm going to try and join either police or fire brigade. So hopefully can do that. But at the moment, just got to see what I can do with my league first and have that appointment and hopefully go from there.
Go from there. And are we going to see a few more demonstrations with you and Lauren? How long is it going to be for? Because we missed.
Yeah, so we me and Lauren had a dive on Sunday at the game,
yeah,
the
halftime, right.
And then we did one at the school, and then I've got like a few things coming up through dancing, and hopefully I'm just gonna try to do a competition with Lauren, maybe this year, maybe end of this year, or maybe next year. So looking forward to it.
Who would you ever thought that you'd be a part of a dancing competition 20 years ago? Oh, Manu.
Never ever thought of my life, especially like, you know, doing the dance at halftime at the game. I'll never ever thought that I would go back to Mount Smart and dance. never dreamed that, but hey, it's come to it. I'm happy, like, you know, it's something new from wearing rugby league boots to dancing shoes on the field. So.
And you look good in it, brother. Seriously, I've never seen anyone look suave. And there's a few Pacific Balls out there in the community, and I'm sure you might be getting some requests to do some demonstrations. So I'll just put a plug out. We've got a Pacific Ball coming up for the DHB in August the 3rd.
Oh, awesome.
So it would be great. I know our Tongan staff would love to see your demonstration. We'll talk after this.
Yeah.
But even
no problem,
sharing your story to our – actually, there's so many opportunities out there. I suppose you'll have to have a manager to manage your requests and your schedule, so you still have time for your family. Is it important, your family life balance and work? What does it mean for you?
Yeah, definitely now. Mm. You know, right now, like, you know, I've always been busy with my league and, you know, always travelling every second week or so. So, you know, it's throughout this whole time, you know, It's been tough for me not to play sports again and do all that stuff, but you know, it's something that I've always loved is my family time, especially with my girls, and I could see them grow up a little bit more than what I used to. Like, you know, there's a lot of birthdays and stuff that I've missed, but you know, it was for you know, they understand it and they knew what I was doing it for. So I you know, hopefully now I can celebrate a lot more. And, you know, just chill now and just enjoy life.
Wow. Manu, we just, you know, what I've enjoyed in the last half hour with you is just your absolute commitment to your humility. That you talk about letting the wall down. You just role model that, and you just kind of let the whole world know. And thank you so much, Manu. Not many people can do that. And I just want to thank you so much that you can even share on here. And
yes.
We're just touched by it ourselves as we go, and we all go through those highs and lows, and your awesome inspiration and encouragement for us and for the listeners. And we know this is not the end. This is just the beginning of you being able to spread the love and the signpost from those who are in darkness that there is a tomorrow.
Manu.
Yeah.
Manu.
Yo.
That's it, man. Pulochu said it all, man. I think now's the time for you to spread the love if you got time in your life. You know, I know your family first and foremost, but you know, lock it down with Pulotu, man.
We have a good talk about it.
That's it, Manu. Malo, Manu. Hey, look, man, I want to thank you so much, man. I really appreciate Pulotu and myself, really appreciate you blessing us with your presence on Te Ama. Manu.
Thank you.
We'll keep in touch, man. But hey, my wife says, Manu, my wife Liana, you know how she signed I asked her to sign the poster and write her name down. She's your number one fan in Rara, man.
She said to
come to Rara anytime, bro. And plus, she reckons Raru, that's where the real dancing happens, bro.
I don't know. When I come there, they did around the world and they picked me. I'm not going to
come.
I've been stuff a lot of times.
Mahalo, ma sai o pito, Manu, and God bless you. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch. I've got your number, so I'll we'll be in touch after this. Thank you, Manu.
Okay. Say bye.
Mahalo.
Lotto.
Yes.
Keep going, brother. Keep going.
Put the pick on the hook. Well, that was great. That was great, wasn't it? Can you imagine having that time? I've never, ever had that time of anyone and as someone that we've grown up with, such as we've been able to have in the last half hour.
Lotto, thank you, man. Thank you, brother. Hey, man, I want to ask Manu one more question. Whether he still reps Papa Toi. Brother, oh, yeah. We're from Papa Toi, man.
That's true. That's true. We don't give enough props for Papa Toi Toi. But you got Ken Mamalo doing a great job for Papa Toi Panthers and the Warriors. Yeah. It's good that they mentioned that. Actually, not many. Who else? Ali Papa Toi.
Ruben Wiki.
And Monty Beetham.
Beetham, Papa Toi Rugby Club.
Papa Toi, I'll tell you.
Plotu. Now, I really want to appreciate you, you know, helping me out with Manu. You know, I've always told you, you should be the one here.
Oh, no. Yeah. I said, you asked me all the questions, Nick. I was like,
that's it, man.
I was too excited.
Plotu, you know, with the person you are, man, you know, people out there listening, if you can just share a bit about yourself, please.
Brother, I think there's a lot in there that we've just heard from Manu that we can all relate to. And, you know, the question I asked him as in my current role, it is about what's the best way of being able to use the resources that we have and the vision of our Pasifika communities and everyone who lives in New Zealand, that they live not just a longer life but a healthy and quality life and leaving a lasting legacy for generations to come. I suppose for me, what Manu said, the pressure of us being able to provide, a pressure for us to be able to live up to the expectations of our families, our parents, our grandparents, our family name, you know, is one of the things we always get told, you carry the name of your family, ambassadors.
Don't embarrass the family. Eh?
Yeah, don't embarrass the family. And our, those sort of things we have reinforced in our family lives. So I suppose it all started. I was born in Samoa, brother. You knew that. I was born in Motutu Hospital.
Yes.
My parents, they obviously they felt, hey, there might be some opportunities in New Zealand. And so, similar story to many, came here as a little baby and 7 months old, and we grew up in Otara. For those who live on Flatbush Road, holler out to those who live on Flatbush Road. Yeah, we lived on 100 Flatbush Road, where on the other side there was road works. They hadn't constructed any buildings, so we were only on one side of Flatbush, and we went to Flatbush Primary. I think we were the foundation students for Dawson Primary. And and then my parents took us to Manurewa, and then we went to Manurewa High. I suppose from there, that's the story. I think I might have shared the story where this has kind of got us, I suppose, where we are now, helping out with our communities. My dad is a social worker, retired pastor. My mother is a community health worker and also retired from Beta Drive GPs. Yeah. I've got two sisters that are teachers, and another sister working with young people, and a brother in rugby and helping out with opportunities for our teenagers and a private institution, is that what they call
it? Yes.
Youth guarantee, and then my other brother doing security and doing printing. So there was a moment in our family, like, we love the Lord and our faith has always been strong, but there was a time when we were really tested, and I was probably 13, and my family had gone out to help with shift our other cousin's house and help them shift, and my younger brother Josh and his cousins were playing outside at the back on the playing Cowboys and Indians, you know, with the clothes hanger. And I think he was maybe 7 and they were 6 and 5, and then We weren't there at the time. We were at home. I got the phone call, and I know we only got 5 minutes, brother, and I'm going to a low. And now
keep going.
But there's a point to this. We got the phone call from my sister. Hey, Josh accidentally hung himself. And I said, whoa. They're playing Cowboys and Indians, and I think the box underneath them gave way. Anyway, he got to the hospital. He was in a coma for a few nights, and I remember day and night our family was praying just hard out to God, please, we will do anything, we will give our lives to just give back that life, because we knew it was touch and go. He might not necessarily come out, and if he did come out, he'd come out with some damage, a head injury or brain damage. Anyway, it so happened he came out all good. And I remember there was this renewal of our service to God. And I think I'm not being, you know, I don't want to be boastful, but I think that's what drove us to kind of do work or go to jobs. It was about making difference in other people's lives. And
yes.
Far from being perfect or far from doing everything we do right, but I think we enjoy it. And there's times where it's tough, as Manu said, times where we're having to, in my job, having to develop strategic directions that are reflective of the community voice. And when we talk about community, we're talking about those of our families who live in the homes. And then about the voice of the consumer or the patient.
Absolutely.
Consider their input. And then you also consider the voice of the staff, because we've got a few who have an idea because they're working with
absolutely
patients and consumers, so they have a perspective.
Mm.
How do you gather all those to ensure that our we're getting the right direction? So, and sometimes I have to accept that we just don't get it right, and we just have to continue to give things a go and explore ideas. People like Manu, people who have already, like you, Millie, you know, you and your mother have been prime examples of people working in the mental health field and trying to show up
to help one person out there. One person,
listener. I'm sure
exactly.
We've got more than
yeah. Oh, the phone's going. Wait a minute, it's off the hook, man. Nah, I can't take any phone calls at all. Sorry.
It's just, I mean, and during that, you develop your support network. You know, you develop your link with people like yourselves and the community. You partner with people who are heading into the same direction, and at the same time, working with people that may not be the same thinking as you. That will help challenge you. So, particularly when we're working in teams, not everyone's going to be the same as you. Some may be really good at the data.
Absolutely.
Some might be not good at data and good at doing the front stuff. You know,
PC
and there's, or someone who's good at doing the kind of
absolutely
just getting things in order. You know, calling it straight, because I'm probably not that person. You know, I need to be a bit more direct sometimes. But I'm more of a hey, let's work to our strengths.
Santa touched on that last week, man. Santa,
I told you I listened to your interview.
She
last
touched
week
on that. Plotu, I asked you before we came on there. You know, the responsibility you have in your new role. I asked you, do you actually get any sleep at night? Tell me, man, what's the latest with Auckland District Health Board, Waitemata District Health Board, man? What's the latest?
There's a lot happening. We are, as I talked about straight, we are developing our new strategy for 2020 to 2025. And at the moment, we're finished off our Pacific Health Action Plan, which still, the current issues are still there. So our number one, it came from the community, our number one priority on that health action plan was that our children will live in violent free homes, so they will be safe and live in violent free homes. That was number one, because our community said, hey, don't talk to us about diabetes or obesity or all these other things if we can't even get through the minds of the guardians of our household. So we've done quite a few parenting programs working with violence with people like Cabrini, Miss Gaeli, one of our top psychotherapists in the Tongan community, and we've worked with people with financial capability, so that, you know, around that space, all those things that bring pressure and stresses to the family. But
absolutely,
there's so much in that pot. And then your second part of that plan was our people will be smoke free, and so we know that being smoke free is the one kind of key change in people's lives. And
that's it, man.
It reduces admissions to hospital and kind of makes them, well, I guess, live longer. And then a third one is healthy eating, healthy activity.
Is that possible? I'm going to say it straight up. Us from the south side, is that possible with all these $5 combos, $2 pies?
No, you're right. I mean, we are dealing with the environment. It's multi. So, you know, what can we do from a DHB or health perspective? We, you know, it is about the things that contribute to tough decision making, like having an environment where it's easy to access cheaper foods, and we know the makeup where it's always kind of saturated the most impoverished areas of our society. Of
That's
Auckland,
right.
Which unfortunately it is in South Auckland. So
absolutely,
first thing is our children and our communities are aware of that. It's going to be even a harder game. You know, trying to the fact that we have to go past KFC as well as
I live next to KFC.
Well, in moderation, KFC used to be a name for a youth group called Kids for Christ. So you just say you go to KFC and think it's something else, but you go down Carl's Jr. Oh, you know, and we get so many places. It even makes the whole thing about being kind of discipline even harder.
That's it, man.
If it's all in your face. So that's the third one. The fourth one was, and that's a bit of a matter at the moment, we've got the big measles outbreak at the moment.
Yes.
And we know we've been encouraging our people. You've seen all on Facebook around ensuring our families be up to date with the measles, mumps, rubella vaccination. Now we're taking it up to 12 years old. Get that right. But
yes,
the fact of the matter is the latest numbers that we've had
Absolutely.
Is about 130, and the majority, unfortunately, is our Pacific families.
Sorry, can I jump in? You also mentioned out there, Pulotu, there's a lot more islanders, mothers giving birth than...
So I talked about last year.
Unbelievable, man.
In 2018, and just looking at how our health system's set up,
we've
had more births that were non-Pākehā than Pākehā births. We knew that Māori, Pacific, and Asian and other baby births last year outnumbered Pālangi births.
But all the money is geared towards the Pālangi births, correct?
It's more... The system is still
going on? Pulotu?
Not privileging our non-Pākehā. So it is about
unbelievable.
I've been aware of, I suppose, institutionalized racism, and even our own community. What does that mean for us?
We touch on that too.
Racism is not even in our vocab. Like in Samoan, there's no word as. In fact, some people may see some of our practices as not being inclusive enough or sexist. You go to our marais, and some of them, only the males can speak in the pai. You know, I remember some of our female leaders, we thought, oh, we've advanced, but it's trying to put a construct like that, like racism or onto a cultural way of doing things. So we're still having to have those conversations with our community about what that means.
Yes.
And even understanding what that means. And so I know this government's wanting to improve equity, which means looking at what things are done out there that are sort of racist in ways. So ensuring barriers to access is removed.
Yes.
Ensuring that the approaches for practitioners to our Absolutely. People involve essentially empowering or giving the power to those who have a quiet voice. So we know those who, like you and I, will be able to talk to the doctor and ask heaps of questions
Absolutely.
And be able to, hey, what's this, what's that? Whereas some of our people may not ask as many questions and say they may miss out on some of those diagnostics.
Why would that be?
And some of that's because we feel that the authority is in the...
That's just our island makeup, eh? And just shush and just listen, eh?
So it's about our practitioners understanding that and actually asking and getting down to that level rather than ensuring that, oh, yeah, I've got the power, you've got... And there's some people that are doing really well and making us aware...
So we're a lot of layers, eh?
A lot of layers, a lot of work, but you know what? We do this together. Mm. You know, Alofa Atasi, we row together.
My man.
We tau tei whakataha, you know, we lead together.
Brother. That's what te ama means too. Outrigger just holding on.
So, brothers and sisters out there in the community, hope to hear from you. And thank you for listening. And thank you, Mele, for
being here. Pulotu. Thank you, Pulotu. You're our number one backer. for Te Ama. God bless you, Polotu. Thank you for staying back. I know you're supposed to be in Grafton right now. God bless to all our listeners. Thank you for listening.
Have a take.